this is Blanche Baker, and you're listening to Dave's Gone By on WGBB.
Welcome back to the Dave's Gone By radio program. This is Rabbi Saul Solomon, leader of Temple Sons of Bitches in Great Neck, New York, and I'm so proud, I'm so happy to have not one, but two terrific half-Jewish guests on the show tonight. Yes, I've got a director and an actress to talk to, and they're both involved in a nice new off-Broadway play called Knowing Bliss, and it shall be blissful, I hope, to talk to the director, Lorca Perez, and the actress, Blanche Baker, who are on the telephone with me as we speak. Lorca, Blanche, how you doing?
We're doing great.
Good, Rabbi, thank you.
Oh, it's good to hear from you. How did you two get involved in this new play?
Well, Knowing Bliss was the winner of a contest that Multistages held, my theater company, and she won over close to 100 plays.
And when I got to read the play, I thought the part I'm playing was so fantastic, I begged Lorca that I could play it.
Now, what are you playing? What part is this?
Well, I get to play a musical theater star from the Midwest who is reunited with her black daughter, and they're going on a hike through Native American territory.
Sounds like a story out of my life, I'm telling you. No, I kid. No, but okay, so what happens on this hike? What do they do? They see wild animals and things?
Well, actually, they do, yes. They see a coyote and a raccoon.
Oh, I saw one of those in Central Park.
Shape-shifting hawk. Ooh. They're all played by one man, Carlos Butante, who's a brilliant and gorgeous dancer. And we don't really know if he's live or a specter.
All right. You might want to ask him. It's a simple question. Hey, are you live or are you a specter?
Are you really there?
It's a quick thing that he can answer, probably, you know? You could save 30 pages of script just by asking him. So what was the process of working on what did you have to figure out, Lorca, as the director of this play? What were you trying to get at? What was the heart of the piece?
Well, there's a lot. The play is called Knowing Bliss, and the daughter's name is Bliss, and she's trying to find herself. And along the journey, they actually find each other, the mother and the daughter. They get to know each other. A lot of secrets come out. And we've had a wonderful journey, actually, the playwright Arden Cass and I, working on it, because we have sort of stepped into Native American territory, and we need to do a lot of research and understand how that world works to be able to present this play.
All right, and Blanche, talk about getting into the character. Was there a day or a moment when you sort of felt, I found her, this is what I'm going to do, this is me?
Well, I think part of the process is you're always looking, but my character is very funny, and I get to speak in a southern accent, and I totally do not believe that coyote is there or any other such thing. And my daughter and I could not be more different at the beginning of the play. And then as it unfolds, you understand that really this mother and daughter have a lot in common, and it's really about how their relationship evolves. And during the rehearsal process, obviously, we explored it and hopefully have discovered some fun and interesting things.
Good. And by the way, I neglected to ask, shame on me, where the hell is this thing playing?
Oh, the play is being done at Teatro Lateia, which is part of a wonderful cultural arts center downtown at 107 Suffolk Street on the corner of Rivington in the Lower East Side.
Oh, I love that! The Lower East Side! That's my old stomping ground.
And Matzah's right there.
That's right. Dreyf's Matzah is on
right
the corner.
Across the street.
Oh, this is fabulous, and this is good. And also, how can people get tickets, by the way?
You can get tickets by online. You can contact www.smarttix.com, or you can telephone 212-868-4444.
868-4444.
And you have to ask for the play, which is Knowing Bliss.
Knowing Bliss, which is running until when?
We run actually from April the 26th until May 13th.
Oh, so people have to hurry up. They got to get their tickets now if they don't want to be at a loss or shut out of this.
Right, get their tickets and their matzah.
Are you giving away free matzah at intermission?
No, but on the way you can pick up a matzah.
They're paying the money, they're coming in, you should give them a little matzah.
Yeah, we're giving them the good time. They have to buy their matzah.
Is it a comedy or a drama or something in between?
It's in between. I'd say it's a serio comedy because the issues are not comedic and there's a lot of serious moments in the play.
But I'm funny. I can't help it.
Blanche is hysterical.
But you're not really particularly known for comedy, are you? Are you? I mean, you've done.
Oh, was that serious in 16 Candles when I tripped down the aisle? I don't think so. I hope I'm known for comedy.
Fair enough, but that was one film that you did when you were a little baby girl there. You've done a bunch of other things since. let me look at the bio here.
I've done a lot of comedic roles. It's one of the things I really enjoy doing best.
Well, but here's the deal. Here's one of the things that's interesting, I guess, to people listening to the program, aside from the fact of your half-Jewishness, which we will get to, is the fact that you kind of were off what we call the radar for a while.
That's right. I just coming back from a 15-year break where I took care of children. I have four children.
Mazel tov.
Close to the city, but now two of the children are actually out of the house at college. And
they're not at Duke University, are they?
Bronx, what? And happy to be working again.
Well, so at what point did you say, you know, I've done the housewife thing, I've done the mother thing, now it's time for me to go back and do the acting thing?
I guess when I felt like I could handle having, you know, the two children and also working four children, it was just a bit much. And also, I did miss it. I also sculpt, so I was able to, you know, do something artistic while I wasn't working. But I have a daughter who's 13 years old who wants to be an actress, and she actually encouraged me tremendously. She kept saying, Mom, you have to go back, you have to go back. And that did give me a bit of a shove. So.
Well, was it difficult after 15 years? Were you, as they say, rusty?
You know what? I think I'm better. I think having that break, I'm much more relaxed. I'm much happier. I appreciate it. I'm certainly not as neurotic as I was when I was a child. I think that really just comes to everybody with age. Things are suddenly not so black and white. And, you know, I feel lucky to be able to make a living in the arts. I think when I was young, I wanted to be famous and, you know, do certain things. And now I think I'm just very happy, and I feel fortunate to be able to make a living in the arts.
But let's go back to the neurosis, because I know.
Oh, yeah, you would pick up on, right?
Of course, well, it's the Jewishness. It goes hand in hand.
And with being half-Jewish, you're right.
Now, both of you are actually half-Jewish.
Yes.
So in what ways is this happening for both of you?
Well, we just bonded immediately because of that.
Well, it would happen, you know.
My dad is full Jewish, but he's half Arabic. His father was from Baghdad, and his mother's from Poland.
Wait, who is this? Who is this?
Lorca.
Oh, okay.
So my father, his name is Maurice Paris, and he's actually a music conductor. And his father was from Baghdad, and he played the oud instrument.
Oh, I love the oud!
The oud!
Oh, I love a good oud!
Sing and do all kinds of wonderful things. And my grandmother, Elsie Tinker, was from Lodz, Poland.
Oh!
Or Łódź, I think they say Łódź.
Łódź. Well, would you believe it?
Would you believe it or not?
But
my dad is from Bardiolf, Czechoslovakia, and he's actually a Holocaust survivor.
Oh. Wow, talk about bringing the conversation right down, huh?
Stop, there's no comedy in that.
Well, there could be. That Italian director found some, but no, normally not. Normally, when you say Holocaust, you say concentration camp. It's like, you can't tell a joke for five more minutes. It's like, let's all just sit here silently and let that moment die. All right, quiet, wait. We'll let a few seconds tick. All right. Good. All right, now let's tell some jokes.
Okay. No,
but he survived the thing.
That's right. There's the good news.
That is the gang, your mom?
And my mom is an actress, Carol Baker.
Of course.
And she lives in Palm Springs now. She's not working anymore. And my dad is an acting teacher, and he lives in Paris, France.
Oh, how wonderful.
But was it difficult having a mother who's a shiksa? This is what, no.
You know, they actually made us go down to the beach very early in the morning and be, you know, confirmed. We had to say prayers and dive under the waves. There were all sorts of awful things that you had to do if, God forbid, your mother was a shiksa.
This was good. See, in later life, you remember these things and it makes you a better Jew.
Yeah, I also remember one holiday when she cooked pork spare ribs for everybody, so, you know. And then I remember also she was trying to order carrot pudding from the deli once, and she was ordering simmers instead. So.
Oh, actually, simmers is better than carrot pudding, I'll tell you. It just is. Trust me on this. So do you, I don't even want to ask this question, but I kind of have to ask this question of them, also, again for Blanche, is because you are sort of part of that almost Rat Packy kind of a group. Do you ever get together with the Rat Packy kind of 16 candles kind of French postcardy people?
No, you know what? Because I haven't been in the business for 15 years, I really have lost touch with everybody. And, you know, that might have been for the best. It's very good, I think, to go on with your life at a certain point and get out of the Brat Pack.
Were you ever subject or let yourself be part of the whole, the bad side of, like, the drugs and the booze and the craziness?
Oh, never!
Never!
About.
Oh, you're a nice half-Jewish girl. I love it. So, no, you're not.
My religion saved me.
Because all the others seem to have gone through all these things and the therapy and the Betty Ford, but you stayed
totally... No, I never went that route.
Good for you. Oh, I'm so proud of you. What about you, Lorca?
I'm still recovering now. In terms of
being a bad kind of a chick?
No, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty boring.
The goyish part of you. No, wait, you're I kid. So, what was Blanche your first part after coming out of the your exile, as it were?
My exile. I did the lead in an independent film called Jersey Justice. We still have some pickup shots to do, but hopefully they'll have it ready by the end of the summer. And I get to play a soccer mom who loses her husband and her son in violent acts, and she becomes a vigilante. So once again, it's a comedy, but it does have a little bit of a sad twist there. And it's a first-time director, but he was wonderful, named John Hunt. And there were great cast members with me, and it was a wonderful script.
Good. And Lorca, you've been directing for quite, in fact, are you the artistic director of the of Multistages, which is putting on Knowing Bliss?
Yes, founder and artistic director, and we're actually celebrating our ninth year.
Mid-Mazel. So how did
Thank you
get into this? How did you start the company?
I started the company, I actually had to produce a play. Somebody asked me to produce this wonderful play about the Unabomber in 1997.
Talk about dragging the conversation down again!
Hysterically funny. Actually, I'll tell you a funny story. We actually did it at the John Houseman Theater, and there was a big party going on upstairs for the opening of a new restaurant, and they were playing salsa music. And here we were stuck in Montana, and we had the salsa music bleeding through the ceiling.
What was? I think that was the Josephine Baker restaurant is on
yes.
that block. That must have been it, yeah.
It's right.
No wonder the young Obama was bombing people. He wanted the music to stop.
Exactly. But so I needed to come up with a name, and I didn't really have a mission yet, and I came up with the name Multistages for the idea of developing plays, because that's what we do. And we take plays through the multi-stages of development. And then from there it branched into doing multidisciplinary theater, which is what we do. And so every play that we do incorporates another artistic discipline. In this play, for example, we have film, we have dance, we have mask work. It's just a fabulous spectacle, if you will.
Oh, see, I have some rabbi friends who are privately into discipline, but it's a very different kind of a thing. It's a little sick.
I can't get into that.
But so 9 years, Marvel, you're going to have a big 10th anniversary kind of a season?
I think so, and I'm very happy to have this as our anniversary production.
Well, let me ask you, then going to Blanche and the age thing, I didn't want to bring it up, but since you did, you're...
I'm very happy to be getting older. Think of the alternative.
Getting younger? Oh, no, I know the joke. Yes, I realize. Believe me, I'm on my fifth set of teeth at this point. And I'm only 25, so that should tell you
so
something.
So are we.
But you are close to in that 50 range, am I right?
Not there yet. No way. Hold on. Not yet. 40-something. Not 50 yet. Okay.
I don't know. According to the Internet Movie Database here, no offense, but you're almost, you know, it's not a bad thing. So do you have an issue with this? Even though, you know, you've had the family, you've had the years in the Hollywood, and you're still doing, you know, young, pretty kind of roles, but do you have an issue of turning the big 5-0?
No, you know what, I'm happier than I've ever been. I was, when they tell you you're supposed to be, you know, so happy and wonderful in your 20s, I was very, shall we say, stressed out. No rehabilitation things or drugs
okay.
or whatever. But I found the younger years to be much more difficult. I'm enjoying myself much more now.
Well, what was so stressful about the younger years? You were a movie star making money.
That'll do it.
Really? Was it just the fact that it was... late parties or people wanting a piece of you, or what was the stressful part? No, I'm serious.
Because you want a piece of you, yes. And you always feel like
and we know
you
what piece.
Live up
no.
to expectations.
Right. So, that's right. You were on, I should mention also that you did have your, I guess perhaps career setbacks. I mean, you were in a production of Lolita.
It was actually great for me. You know, I got to work with Edward Albee and Donald Sutherland, and even though the play didn't run, for me that was it was a good experience in the end.
Well, what was it like working with two notoriously rather prickly people?
I really enjoyed it. For me, as a young actress, that was a treat. I was working with mainly Edward Albee, who I had been enamored of for many, many years, and I think that was a great privilege.
All right.
He's one of our, you know, underappreciated playwrights.
Oh, see, here I have to disagree. I think he's one of the most overappreciated playwrights
ever.
Absolutely
not.
We love him.
I'm not saying, and Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf is brilliant, it's fantastic, but some of the other things, you know, you get two acts into a play, it's pretty good, and then he goes completely kablooey in the third act. You don't know what the hell's happening. Tiny Alice, my God, what's going on in that thing?
Well, he pushes the envelope.
People talking to lizards. You can push it back in the closet for all I care. Seal the envelope. Tear it up.
Hi, this is Lorca Paris, and you're listening to Days Gone By on WGBB.
I'm talking on the phone here on the Days Gone By radio program with director Lorca Paris, who is the artistic director of Multi Stages, and lead actress Blanche Baker, who is in a play that they are doing called Knowing Bliss. And let me get back to you, Lorca, as far as your techniques as far as doing theater, when you teach or when you direct. Do you follow any particular style or any school of directing, or do you just go by gut, or is there a training involved?
I think there's sort of all of the above. Most of my training was actually by working with directors, and I worked with a lot of directors as an assistant, and of course I studied directing as well. I went to Bennington College, and I studied at Bennington, and I went to the National Theater Institute at the Eugene O'Neill Center.
Oh, I've been there. That's a lovely place. I love the trees.
Yes, on the water.
The water, yes.
And so I have an actor's background, so I think I approach directing from the point of view of working with actors. And I love working with designers. I also have a background in art. And so for me, when I look at, I guess when I look at theater, because I do primarily theater, when I look at theater, I see it sort of as a painting and kind of what palette do you want to use on that particular painting? And so it is sort of a wonderful collaborative and artistic expression.
So in the years that you have been running this theater company, what have you learned that you weren't learning as, shall we say, a hired gun? What have you learned by being sort of the chief cook and bottle washer and founder and artistic director that you got from doing it in this way that you didn't get from doing jobs at different theater companies and things like that?
Well, I actually like being in charge.
Okay.
I'm the eldest of three kids, so I think you fit into that rather quickly. But I'm a strong leader, and I think that I work well with people, and I'd say that the most important thing that I've learned over the 9 years of actually doing this is some patience and understanding that perfection is sometimes fleeting. You know, we always reach for perfection, and then you kind of wonder what exactly is perfection. And my feeling, I think, that I've come away with is perfection is the final result of everybody coming together. So it's a very collaborative process, actually.
This is true. This is true. It's kind of like running a shul.
Right.
I'm up there on the beam.
I'm the head rabbi at Multi Stages.
And let me also get back to the actress Blanche Baker, who is starring in that play, Knowing Bliss, and also some of the other people that you worked with in the theater. You worked with some pretty heavy hitter theory people in the directing world. You worked with, first of all, Robert Brustein, or is it Brustein? Stein. Tomato, tomato. What was that like? Because I know he's a brilliant theorist and writer.
Once again, I was very fortunate as a young actress. I was quite spoiled. The first plays that I did were directed by Robert Brustein and Andre Vida, and I had no idea that there was something other than, you know, these brilliant men telling you exactly what your character wanted, what the play was about. He made, you know, I did The Wild Duck with Brustein. He made it seem like it was easy to do things like that. And Andre Vida, I learned a huge amount from him, even about film acting, you know, he gave me lessons on how I would do something for film as opposed to play. And he was very imaginative and really encouraged that side in me. So I was just fortunate to right away start with people of that caliber.
Well, actually, I'm hoping for a little bit of a specificity here. What are literal things that either of them taught you about acting, either on film or in the theater?
I guess it's a certain bravery, and that as long as you have a basic truth about your character, you can go very far. And, like, at one point I remember Andre Vida was smoking a cigar, and I was doing a scene on top of my bed. I was playing this young girl, and he took the cigar out of his mouth and gave it to me and said, "Why don't you smoke the cigar?" And so I realized that, you know, I wasn't scared then after that, that you could try so many different things. And once you have your basic character down and you know who you are, you can go as far as to smoke a cigar.
I just have to say that in Knowing Bliss, she actually climbs a ladder and poses with no arms holding on to anything. So Blanche is actually very fearless.
And it sounds like the actress is too, especially where Sigmund Freud is concerned. But
oh, yes, sometimes a cigar is not just a cigar.
But I don't want to bring the conversation down, and I know I did this last time when we mentioned the Holocaust, but actually, the Holocaust is kind of was a good thing for you, in a very sick way of saying, Blanche. I had forgotten completely. You're an Emmy winner.
Right, for that. Well, that had special meaning. I actually traced my father's route through the concentration camps before I did the film, and he was 14 when he was liberated from Bergen-Belsen, and I was playing a young girl in the film. So obviously after I'd done this research and then with the personal history, it was a very special, you know, role for me to play, and I think I did a good job. Obviously I had to do a good job for more than just one simple reason, so I was glad that it turned out well and that the work was appreciated, and it was one of the first miniseries. And, you know, at that time, many, many years ago, though I'm so, so young, it really brought the Holocaust to many people's attention, and it was shown in many schools and across the country at the time, and it was, you know, a leader in that genre.
I cannot help but ask, and I know it brings the conversation down, but your memories of things that your father told you that happened to him. Do you have any particular anecdotes or horror stories of his experiences?
So this is a cheery interview.
I know.
Well, I tell you, it's more things like, you know, I was scared. I would have nightmares and things. But I remember when I was going to register for a new school. We had just moved to Hollywood because my mother's career had taken off. And we were sitting there, and they had the old-fashioned typewriters. And it was a room of women at typewriters. And we were giving my information to this one woman. And I turned to my father to ask him something, and he was frozen. And I was like, Daddy, what's wrong? And the sound of the typewriters reminded him of the sound of the cattle car wheel.
Oh, God.
I think it has defined his entire life.
In what ways?
I think his work, his relationship to the world. I don't think you get over something like that. And a lot of people bury it and don't talk about it. He actually, you know, has spoken about it, has appeared in some of the documentaries. He's registered at the, you know, Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. But I think that's who he is. I think it took him a long time to get over his anger. I've noticed that dissipate over the years. Like, he couldn't bear to get into a Mercedes and things for a while because it was German. And he's moved past that, the anger.
I haven't.
But I don't think you ever move past the experience of losing your entire family.
Were there cousins? I mean, do you know?
Out of 103 members of my family, 2 survived the war.
Gewalt.
Right, we had 4 who survived on my side.
It's not a contest.
As a matter of fact, every Passover, my father reads the names of all of our relatives that we know of who died in Poland. And one of the people who comes to our Passover is my cousin Helena, who was a child survivor. She did not actually go into the concentration camp, but she escaped the Warsaw ghetto at the age of 9, climbing over the wall, and was living with families, wound up getting a fake birth certificate saying she was Catholic, and she's a very wonderful and strong woman, and she just started talking about it just recently, and she's in her early 70s now. So it affects us all, you know. Anybody, I think, who has any connection to European Jewry, it changes your life. Of course, more so for the people who have, you know, who went through the experience, but it affects the family of those people and the family of that next generation, et cetera, et cetera.
It does indeed. See, I can't even, there's no joke. There's nothing I can even say. It's just, it's out there. Even 60, 70 years later, it's still out there.
I'm actually going to segue for a second over to Knowing Bliss, because actually it was interesting working on this particular production, because we are dealing with the Anasazi tribe of Indians who disappeared. And the journey in the play that Bliss takes is that she's an anthropologist. By the way, the character's name is Candace, the actress is Candace Wall Myers, and she's wonderful. And she takes this trip out to the Anasazi cliff dwellings. There were over 1 million Anasazi people living in this country, and they've disappeared. We haven't seen any Anasazi people in the past 1,000 years, and they don't really know what happened to them. And it's quite fascinating. And so we look at, you know, as a Jewish person or as an African-American person or whatever it may be, any kind of minority that has been oppressed, we look around and we see so many other people in such similar situations. It has a universal appeal, I guess.
This is true. And please also, again, remind people it's playing at, well, Multistages is doing it, but it's playing at La Tea.
Teatro La Tea. Teatro is in Spanish, T-E-A-T-R-O, La, L-A-T-E-A, La Tea. And it's at 107 Suffolk Street on the second floor on the corner of Rivington. And you can get tickets by calling 212-868-4444. And it's only $18. So
SmartTix online with two T's.
Right. Or you can, yes, online at www.smartix.com.
And it's running through May 13th. And as you said, it's high. It's $18. The perfect price.
Yes, it's high. As a matter of fact, somebody sent us exactly $18 as a donation for good luck.
Now, also as far as the future things that you guys are doing, I mean, Lorca, you're planning the next season. This is sort of a keystone thing. You're going to have a gala and everything.
Exactly.
Have you picked some of the other plays that are going to be in upcoming?
Well, actually, we're holding our next contest. We've already started receiving all kinds of wonderful submissions that are being sent to us from around the world. So we're starting to put that together. I'm actually going to be directing a couple of other plays coming up that are not Multistages, but many new wonderful things are in the works.
And Blanche, you said you
have
one.
A film called Science Fair. A young director, Dean Fleischer Camp, who won the Alfred P. Sloan Science Award. And I'm going to play the mother in it, and I'm looking forward to it. We're going to shoot it in June.
Actually, I went to Dean Fleischer Day Camp. It was not pleasant. It was the middle of New Jersey. I was covered with mosquitoes. It was horrible. But I'm sure the film is going to be lovely. And you both sound like wonderful, lovely, and half Jewish people. It's terrific to talk to you. Any further thoughts about making a life in a creative field? Because so many people want to get into movies and theater and radio and television. Any thoughts?
Don't do it unless you absolutely have to.
No, you do. You have to love it. You do have to love it. Because the business side of show business is tough. But the rewards, I think, are beyond anything. And every production we do, every time we're involved, we work with new people and all kinds of... It's a wonderful educational experience, and it's artistically uplifting. So go for it.
And if you love your work, I think that's a great blessing.
Well, I hope that we will love the work of these two wonderful women in Knowing Bliss at Teatro La Tea. We've been talking to Lorca Perez as the director, and we've been talking to Blanche Baker, the actress. Thank you so much. It's been a joy. It's been terrific. I wish you both best of luck and nachas and everything.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.